Good morning. April 9th, Saturday. What time is it? I don't know. It's, not, I was going to say it's not 5:40. 7:33. It's, the official temperature is 30 something. It's, it was 40 degrees outside my back door this morning. I'm trying to walk fast to warm up. It's chilly. So, yeah, okay, Anita. Yesterday I was at the library convention, the Public Library Association annual meeting in Denver, at the Colorado Convention Center. And I went in expecting to see a room of, you know, typical breakout room for con of maybe 25, 30 seats. We had half a ballroom. The place was so big they had to set up four big screens just to cover the area. There had to have been 300 people, maybe more, with seating for at least another 100. It was a bit staggering is what it was. So it was a big panel, it was only an hour. I didn't get to say too much, other than I did get to respond to the questions that I thought were the most interesting. How do you make your books look professional when you're not using an editor? And the answer was, well, I have an editor on retainer. I have one editor on retainer. I use a copy editor instead of a developmental editor because developmental editors want me to write the book that they want me to write, not the book that I want to write. And one of the problems is that with Ishmael Huang, a lot of people think a lot of what goes in there is filler, and they don't quite understand that it may look like filler. The conversations about coffee, about food, but people who've been out at sea, people who have been isolated, people who have been aboard ship, know that those are actually the important things that happen. This isn't filler. This is how the world looks out there. This is what's important. The librarians have a lot of interest in self-published books. Of the 350 people who were there, there were several who stood up and had questions. One of the librarians from Houston, who is in charge of their digital inventory, has been putting self-published books into his library for a long time, for a relatively long time, and ebooks in particular. If you really have to be in overdrive, and now you can actually submit a self-published single title to Overdrive. They ghettoize them, they put them in their own tab so people aren't confused by real books. But the questions about the interesting issues for librarians is how do we reach the patrons? Because their circulation levels almost across the board. 300 people in the room. Nobody had rising circulation numbers. Nobody. They were all, and now some of them might not have known, but libraries live and die on circ. If you don't have circ, if you don't circulate books, you have no reason to be there. So they live and die on circulation programs are interesting, and sometimes they do programs. A lot of them have had to back off programs because indie authors were, as indie authors are wont to do, burying them, and in the most part, burying them in stuff they didn't want in their library. There are a lot of people who have racist, misogynist agendas, and they want those agendas promoted in the library because that's an outlet for them. There's a problem that libraries are dealing with. The logistical issues of how to acquire and pay for them is a problem, particularly when it comes to digital, when it comes to ebooks. You know, you can donate physical books to the library. You have to be willing to accept no as an answer. And apparently there are, as not to be too surprised by it, there are indies who are more than willing to go in and argue, which is a great way to not win friends and influence people. It's tedious. So, in theory, in practice, being all in with Kindle means I cannot put my books into overdrive, in spite of the fact that there were half a dozen librarians who wanted to stock my books. So anyway, I was able to kind of diffuse some of the all indies suck idea. And there were librarians who actually support indie authors. My comments were largely based on, I got to answer the, does your book deserve to be in a library? And my answer was, well, it sort of depends on the library and what their goals are, and who their patrons are, and what circulates. There are places where science fiction doesn't circulate. And it may be because they're a community that doesn't have a lot of science fiction readers. They do exist. There are places where fantasy doesn't circulate. Okay, fine. One of the good points is that if you have a really small science fiction collection, it's really easy for patrons to read through it all. And then it doesn't circulate anymore because the market becomes saturated. So I did need to answer that. And I did say that if you're looking for a good, consistent, reliable product, you can always get that from the bigs. You can always get that from Random House, from Macmillan. And you will get pretty much what you expect. If, on the other hand, you see your library as a repository of storytelling, then you can't ignore the self-published, the indie authors, because these are the books that are not bound by the existing strictures of the agent, editor, book buyer paradigm. What the book buyer wants to buy for their store is a book that's just like the one that sold 10,000 units last month, but with a different name, maybe. What the editor wants to buy is a book that sold 20,000 units in the last quarter. They don't want something different. They want something that will sell. Something that they can say, this is just like X. And X sold really well, so this should sell really well. And they pass that message down to the agents, and the agents say, okay, we need more of books like X. So the system that's in place, with the exception of some small presses, which have some of the same issues that indies do. If you want to get outside the normal paradigms, if you want to get outside the normal three-act structure. If you want to get stories that are not violent, puerile, overly sexed, all of the things that sell books, but you want a story that's, you want a well-told story that doesn't have necessarily those kinds of aspects to it, it's very difficult to find outside inside the traditional press. Monk post. So yeah, it was enlightening, and I would really like to try to get my books into libraries, but there's a problem. I think I could get away. Well, one of the problems is in CreateSpace, my paperbacks can't go into the library because I need to be in that distribution system, and Amazon requires. Or CreateSpace requires a CreateSpace ISBN for that channel. Now, I could probably do it by having a library edition. I'd have to create a second book, a second edition of the same book, but with the CreateSpace ISBN on it. And that's at least doable. And I might look at doing something like that. But with OverDrive and eBooks, the Amazon TOS is pretty restrictive. It's certainly a reason for me to pull books as interest in them wanes in Kindle Unlimited. It's certainly a reason for me to pull the books from Select and to go wide, at least for some period of time. So I met some interesting people. I met Patty Thorne, who does a independent book recommendation newsletter. They've done like 8,000 titles already. They do. It's an indie press review service, and they offer 10 books a month to their libraries, their subscribers. It's a free subscription. But they offer 10 books a month. And they also send it to Booklist, which is the book recommendation engine that libraries use. The executive editor of Booklist was there, a guy named Kier something. And he's very interested in indies, but he has a hard time because there's just so many. The guy from Houston who does ebooks now, who does indie ebooks now, says, had some interesting statistics. His indie ebooks circulate 44 times more than his traditional pub ebooks do. And they cost him a tenth as much. So his ebook, his indie cost per circulation, cost per borrow, is 13 cents. So it costs the library on average 13 cents for every borrow for a self-published book. For HarperCollins, it's $2. For cash-strapped, hard-pressed libraries who want to provide reading opportunities for their patrons, indies are huge. Getting them into the library, the logistics of it, is now the stumbling block rather than the sort of stigma concerns that everybody seems to have. It's like, what about the typos? What about the grammar? The guy from Houston said, look, I'm not really all that concerned about typos and grammar errors in books. I still buy books from Pangram and the Random House. And everybody in the library laughed. So they were very interested in the idea that all indies aren't taking their word processing document, saving the file and uploading it to Kindle. And while there are certainly people who do that, that's not necessarily the way the good books do it. And that there are, it's a wide variety of good books and not so good books, and depending on what your criteria are, you know, nonfiction is a different deal, but fiction is much more, I don't know what quality is, but I know it when I see it kind of thing. Yeah, typos are a problem. They bounce you out of the story. I've said for a long time, and I still maintain that it's true. If you're noticing the typos, then I'm not writing good enough stories. Or the story is kind of weak there, because you notice the typo. Even missing words. If you're reading along, it's very rare in an engaging story that you'll notice a missing word. Your brain will put it in. Your brain will fix the typo. Now, if it's too much of it, then it gets to be sandpaper. You know, rubbing your skin with sandpaper once is one thing. Rubbing your skin with sandpaper 100 times is something very, very different. So, yeah. It was enlightening to me to see how many people there were that were... How many librarians? Because these are a closed set. How many librarians were interested in self-published? And how many libraries are doing ebook? So I have to look at the library here and see what I have to do, see if ebooks are available in our library. And I need to look to see if they would like copies, paperbacks, because I'm a local author. So that pretty much took up the whole mile. I'm getting ready to cross the last street. Heading for the back gate. It's still cold. Lord, it is cold. I want my oatmeal. I want some coffee. I haven't had any coffee this morning. I got up late. And I figured I would get out for the walk before the day had a chance to get away from me, and I'm glad that I did. So, thanks for coming along with me, and I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.